I saw this recently. It's a moidige story of Chaim Oizer. Chaim Oizer was the unofficial Rav of Vilna. I think it's actually quite connected to Shavuos. So thank you for reminding. He went. Is there Nach Novi of Amos? I don't think there's a Novi here. Is there? Teoso. He went. He was once invited to speak. Oh, let's see if I can find the pasuk. Thank you so much. Bear with me for 1 minute. I'm not sure I'll find this pasuk. We'll try one. We'll have one attempt. Okay, I'll do it without the pasuk because I do not. Reb Chaim Oizer was the unofficial rabbi of Vilna, who was asked to go to a levaya of one of his talmidim nebuchu who was nifta. I need to find this pasuk. Once, if you give me 1 minute, if I can find it, that would be great. Does anybody know Amos very really well? Sefer Amos. School? No, we don't do Amos in school. We only do Sefer Shmuel and Sefer Yeshua. No, but it's good to know Novi. It's good to know Novi. So Rav Boya said, Rav Boya, the old Rav in Washington Heights, he said, you can only learn Novi either if you are a cheder boy or you are a big Talmid Chacham. Otherwise, you're going to get it wrong. That's what he says. Interesting, no? So it's time for us to get our... no, it's true. I heard once from... Nissen Kaplan once told me years ago in Yeshiva, he told me that he has got a Masorah from his Shver Rebbe Avraham Govetz, who is Makabel from his father, that the Yeshivish world doesn't learn Novi. We don't really learn so much Novi. And it's like, it comes with a... I don't know if that's true. Okay, I can't find this possible, but the story is as follows. I think it's a Moedig and Meiser. Reb Chaim Oizer went to a levaya, a levaya of a Talmid, and that forced him to go into a place, the levaya of a Talmid in Vilna. Vilna was not a ghetto, it was a secluded area in Vilna where he was Rav and where the Yidden lived. But to go to levaya was like to go out in the Beis Olim, which was further out. And there he walked past areas that he was not very familiar with, and he encountered them for the first time ever. This is in line with, we spoke about touching animals on Shabbos, so in line with that, he saw a lady that was hugging her dog, and he was very shocked about that. The Pramos, this was before the days that dogs were so familiar as it is nowadays. And Reb Chaim Oizer was very shocked about that. And then he was very shocked about that. How can somebody, was a Goyish lady, was hugging a dog. And then he brought the Pasuk in Amos, which I just can't find it. And the Pasuk says in Amos, that it speaks about kissing dogs. And he said, Zoyfche Odom, I think the Pasuk goes, Zoyfche Odom, Yenashku something. I've forgotten that the whole Pasuk. He said that the way Reb Chaim Oizer darshan the Pasuk is that people who kiss their dogs, eventually they will be zoifchei odom. They will shecht people. That's how he said. That's how he learned the pasuk in Amos. Is that people who kiss and hug their animals? There's nothing wrong with, you know, being gentle with an animal. That's fine. To have a certain, you know, we mustn't be cholile. We mustn't cause harm to animals. And tzab alechaim is probably according to roif poiskim deraisa. We've got to make sure that animals are looked after. But to hug and kiss an animal, he said that if people hug and kiss animals, That's dangerous territory, he said. And that will lead to Zoif Che'ol, and that will lead to people who actually will kill humans. That was in the 1920s, and he was right, because it was as you know, the Lithuanian Goyim, they had absolutely no Rachmanus. Once the Nazis took over, they were indeed Zoif Che'olam. And he saw that from the pardon? Hoshea. Hoshea, it's not Hoshea? Hoshea Gimel. Oh, see? Pardon? How did you find it?
There's a great app for leftover there.
Seriously?
You can plug in the apostle and find it.
Very good. Very good, it's brilliant. It's almost amazing. What would you have done? Where is it? Hoshea Yud Gimel? I thought it was an Amos. See? Yud Gimel? Zoif Yud Gimel. Oh, okay, good. Zoif Che Odom Agolim Yishokun. That's the pasuk. Heim oimrim, they say Zoif Che Odom Agolim Yishokun. It's not pasuk pshat in pasuk, but that's how Reb Chaim Oizer learned spontaneously. He said Zoif Che Odom Agolim Yishokun. Zoif Che Odom, the Odom people who shecht the people, they before that they were Agolim Yishokun. They would kiss their calves. That's how he learned. Rashi and Radak learned differently. So that's that. I think that what the underlying yesod is. I think what the underlying yesod is that that's why it's connected to Shavuos, because I think that the underlying yesod is that even chesed and kindness and being kind to everything goes within the world. To Torah einam oretz chosid. It's a pasuk. That einam oretz, am oretz can't be a chosid, an extremely kind person. Everything goes with regards to the remit and the world of Torah. We need to learn how to be kind as well. We need to learn how to be good as well. And Reb Chaim Volozhiner brings the ma'aseh of Rebbe Akiva, the famous story of Rebbe Akiva, that he wants to be very kind. But he got it wrong. The example that he brings is that there was a meis mitzvah. Somebody was nifta on the road, and he wanted to bury the person. Akiva before he became Rebbe Akiva, and Reb Chaim Volozhiner brings down that Rebbe Akiva said that had I known that, and Rebbe Akiva then he sees the nifta on the road and he schleps him to the next beis olam to bury him. Little did you know that the halacha is that the mace is koinim koimoi, and really the person should be buried right there. That's the halacha. But he didn't know that he wants to be mechaber the mace. He wants to give honor to the nifter, but he didn't know the halacha. And therefore, ultimately, we actually called him great bizon because you don't schlep a mace around like this. So Chaim Volozhiner brings from here, that even kindness needs to be learned according to Torah. And that's probably what Shavuos teaches us, that beyond actual Torah, the benogam lemakim, there's also the benogam lechaver, also needs to be learned and trained with the laws of what the Torah is teaching us. And that's the mice of Reb Chaim Oizer. So, yeah. 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 Okay, good. Okay, we are ready for Simon Tov Shin. And here, this interesting, somebody asked me what's the pshat in. Normally, it's interesting that the names of the simonim, we know that really should be in regular order. And here we find it's not in regular order. It's instead of Shin Tes, normally we'd assume that it should be Shin Tes. But it's not Shin Tes, it's Tes Shin. So we know when it comes to, for instance, Simon Reish Ayin, it's not Reish Ayin, because that means Ra, so it's Ayin Reish. And there's others as well, which are like that. We normally try, the Shulchan Aruch is normally very aware of but if here it's interesting, I'm not sure why it is Shin Tes.
You mustn't shut
the
safer, you've got to learn
the
whole life.
Oh, I see, and you mustn't shut the safer. I see, that's good, yeah. Yes. Others suggest that it might have to do with the Sotan. Sotan, I don't know, it's a tash. I don't know, I'm not sure. That's interesting, just a little observation. That it is, yeah, but you mustn't shut the safer. That would be Rai, of course, that Yosef Karl was very familiar with the English language. I see, yeah. Yeah, good, very good. Yeah, 100%, that's good.
You had Dalet Shin before.
Yes, Dalet Shin was also, because Shin Dalet Shin Dalet are so that's also why we don't do Shin Dalet. And there's others as well. So, but anyway, but that the Tov Shin is interesting. Tiltul Edidu V'Acha Imutu B'Shabbos. So the introduction, I've got to say an introduction because Sif Aleph is an exception to the. Here's a bit of a question on Sif Aleph. And the halachas is follows. We're talking about proper muktzah, something which is even also letzarech gufa mekoymoi to be moved down. So, like for instance, stones. Imagine stones or piece of wood or something which is proper, real, juicy muktzah, real muktzah items. The halacha is: are you allowed to move proper muktzah by not moving it directly? That we know is also proper muktzah. You're allowed to move. Imagine you've got a stone which wasn't designated before Shabbos. You want to make any use of it? A random muktzah stone. You're allowed to move it like this. That's also medrabonon. As we know, that's issa muktzah. What about if you're not moving it directly, but you're moving something which is moving it indirectly? Say it is that you've got a stone, but a stone is actually placed on a bowl, and you want to move the bowl, and thereby moving the stone. Or you've got a piece of wood which is muktzah, and you're moving the table which the wooden piece is on it. So that's an indirect kind of moving. Is that mutter also? So the halacha is that's called siddet tiltul al edei dava'acha. It's indirect moving. Now, indirect moving, the Shulchan Aruch tells us that indirect moving, under normal circumstance, we'll see some exceptions, but under normal circumstance, even of a proper muktzah, tiltul al edei dava'acha of a muktzah item is permitted. That's the halacha. Now, we will see more. But the question is going to be, Sif Aleph is going to tell us where the exception. Let us see Sif Aleph. Anoitel Adam is Benoi. So you've got a father over here who's schlepping his son, his got a stone in his hand. So now the question is, can you take your son whilst he's holding a stone? And that really is, in a way, very similar to Tiltul Ale Devacha, because he's holding the stone, which is Muktzah. His son, a child who is, it's an Oigir Lechinuch, say. And he's holding that Muktzah item, and you want to hold him now in order to just get moving. He's going to be here forever, playing with the stones. So you want to move him. Now the question is, that's Tiltul Ale Devacha, would that be Mutter or not? So now the Shulchan Aruch is teaching us, that Noitel Adam is Benoi Va'evim Biyodoi, you're allowed to take your son whilst he's holding a stone, for Lechoshim Etaltel Evan, it's not considered you're holding the stone, Vehu, and that is, Sheesh Le'Gaguin. That's if the son is crying. Perish Sheesh Le'Tzovim Ksheinu Imovim. That's if the son is having a bit of a crisis. He's crying and he's upset, if he's not with his father. Olav. If the son is not necessarily depending, but he's very upset without being with his father. You can't just leave him alone. You can't just leave the son like this. So the halacha is, you're allowed to take the son, although he's holding a stone. Shim lo itleno yechle, because if you're not taking the child, yechle, he's going to get all upset. He's going to even get chol. He's even going to get unwell. He's either going to cry. He's going to be finished. He's going to get into one of those absolute moods. He's going to get into a crisis. But if the son is not particularly upset about it, if he's happily playing with the stones without the father, then leave him alone. Even if the son is particularly upset, that's only if the son is holding a stone. But if he's got a coin, he found a golden coin on the floor, and the son is now holding a golden coin in his hand, then if it's a dinner, if it's money, then you can't hold the child under any circumstances. Because we're concerned, if the son is holding this coin that he found on the street, and he's found this golden coin on the street, and now if the father picks him up, we're concerned what's going to happen is that perhaps the golden coin is going to fall off, and the father's going to say, oh, you're holding that golden coin, and now he's himself going to get tempted to grab the golden coin. So if it comes to the son holding a golden coin, you must not take the son. Leave it. Even if he's crying, he's shouting, he's screaming, you may not take him. If it comes to a stone as opposed to money, then the halacha is, if he gets really upset, you're allowed to take the son. If he's not upset, you're not allowed to take the son. Now, there's a question here, which is the key question, really, which is going to get us right into the essential yisod of Tiltul Min Hatzad. What's the shayla over here? The shayla is, what do we say? That it's only mut if it's go gaguin. If the child gets very eggy, the crisis, you're allowed to take him. But hold on a second. What did I just say a minute ago? I just said a minute ago that Tiltul Min Hatzad is mutter. So if that's the case, Yalocha should be. Exactly. Never mind the son being very upset. Never mind Even if he's not crying, he's not shouting, he's very calm and peaceful. He's holding a stone, so you just should be able to take the son, because it's tiltul min atzad. Or it is, you're indirectly taking the stone. The son is not mukta under normal circumstances. It's only because he's holding a mukta item in his hand. So therefore, that's considered tiltul mukta min atzad. So that should be mutta. We just said tiltul min mukta with paskin is mutta. So if tiltul mukta min atzad is mutta, so why do you need to wait for the son to cry and scream to be permitted? He without it should be fine. I'm not wondering about the dinner case, about the money case. That I'm clear. Because that's a special gzera. Money, when it comes to money, people do themselves. It's a special gzera drabonon. Okay, that I hear. But I want to know if the coin, if he's got the stone in his hand, he should be tilted and outside, he should be mutter. Why do you have to wait for him to cry? So the answer to that is not so poshut. When you what? When you? Oh, no, forget. If you need the stone, we'll speak about it later. It's different. No.
Because he's holding the
sun. Oh, very good. Very, very, very nice. So that's very interesting what you're saying. And that's what the poskim want to suggest. It is in Kerlitz and all the poskim from Rav Eliashiv's Cheder, they want to suggest that. They want to say, Mamash, what you're saying. That it's true that generally, tiltul min atzad is muta. It's true. Over here, there's a special issa. When it comes to a child holding a stone, it's something much more natural about it. It's something that it makes it more chomo than normal tiltul min atzad. Because the child is more connected to the father and the stone is more connected to the child. It's like not a proper, it's not a normal, it's not a conventional kind of tiltul min atzad. And therefore, it's gonna be also, unless he's got gaguin, he's very upset. But otherwise, it's gonna be also. So again, generally speaking, tiltul min atzad is mutter. You do not need to have crying, you don't need to have shouting, you don't need to have screaming. Tiltul min atzad normally is mutter. If you're holding a piece of something and is, we'll speak more examples as we go to Shulchan Aruch. Tiltul min atzad generally is mutter. So why over here when it comes to a child holding a stone, are you allowed to hold the child only when he's crying? The answer is because this is a special case. It's a chumudiga case, and here we're more machmir. So, and it has to be dafka gaguin. So, but we have to be clear, it's quite common for a child to walk around taking pebbles in his hand, assuming there's an eruv, assuming he can carry, but you've got to make sure that there's a problem over here. If you just want to speed up the child, I mean, I don't know what your scenarios could be. Imagine you've got a three-year-old toddler who is now refusing to walk, and he takes pebbles, I don't know, he's taking something from it, he's got something, he pulls up, you know, and he wants to, he's having a crisis now, and he's a three-year-old, normal three-year-old toddler, and he refuses to walk. The halacha is, you've got to make sure that, yes, if he's having a crisis, not prepared to walk, you're fine, you can take him, and you can carry on walking like this. But if it's just you're just in a hurry, you want to speed up, he's quite happy walking like this, with his stones in his hands, the halacha is, you're not allowed to take him. You're not allowed to take him. It's as Shulchan Aruch says. He's got, only if he's got gaguin, you're allowed to, otherwise you won't be allowed to take him. Seif, contradiction Shulchan Aruch, I'm finishing off the seif. V'yeshoim should also, k'shu, noise a tinnik in dinner biyotah, v'alechos a tinnik biyotah, afal b'shut dinnik biyotah, tinnik, en bekach klum. That's going back to the coin case that and whilst we said a minute ago that with a coin there's a gzeira d'rabbanan, you're not allowed to take him if he's got a coin in his hand. So that's true according to the Tanakhama, but the first opinion is Shulchan Aruch, but the second opinion Shulchan Aruch actually said no, if I'm gonna have to worry about it, if the child is holding the coin, you can still hold the child, and it's like the halacha of a stone. As long as it's gaguin, it's muta. See, base Rabbi Yisrael. That's probably a typical case of tiltul min atzad. Kal kala, which is a basket, shenakuv of a sasma be'evan. It's a basket, and there was a hole. There was a hole in the basket. I think it's a pretty conventional case of tiltul min atzad. There was a basket, and on the basket there was a hole, and it would be leaking out. So what you did is you put a stone there. You put a stone there to make it like a plug. I don't know if that works. Would that work? Yeah, it works. If it's mamash the right size, you know how to. Okay, so kalkola, a basket shows on a kuva which had a hole for sasma be'evan. You blocked it with a stone. Mutar letalta, you're allowed to take the basket. You're allowed to carry on the basket. Why is it not? Why is there no problem of? Why not carrying the stone? Why is it not? Stone is mukta. Why not allowed to? Why is the stone a mukta? Pardon? Very good. That's the halacha. Shari nasa kedafna, because he becomes like the doifen of the, he becomes like the wall of the basket, and that's considered tiltum in atzad, as you're suggesting, and it's mutter. V'chein the last, that's the case, I'm not fully clear in the scenario here, that's a pumpkin, shetoylim ba'evan, kedei lachpito le'malos b'mayim. This is the pumpkin which seems to have water inside it. Okay, and you're putting a stone there, in order that the water, I don't know quite sure how it works. Literally what it means is, it's a pumpkin. You put a stone there, you hang a stone there, to make it heavier, that you can fill water in it. How does it work? Anybody's got clarity in the case? What is buoyant? It probably has to do with it. I just don't have the scenario. Okay. What's floating? The pumpkin is floating in water.
You have to weight it down.
The last evan, kide lachpita le malo is b'mayim.
It's like a bucket. You need to weigh it down and put a stone in it to get it to go under the water.
To go under the water, it looks like you're filling it with water. Le malo is b'mayim, to fill it with water. I'm not quite sure how it works.
It must be floating.
It could be. So it has something to do with it. I'm reading the words again. V'chein delas, a pumpkin, shetoylim ba'evan, you hang a stone on it, kedei lachpido, to make it heavier.
Yeah, so it doesn't topple over, maybe.
Ah, that's what it is. Yeah, maybe. Yeah. It doesn't fall over. That's a good pshat. That's a very good pshat, because it's not, it's round. Very good pshat. I like that. That's probably pshat. So, according to Rabbi Ketanka, the scenario is, you've got a pumpkin, you fill it with water. In order not to fall, you put a heavy stone in the bottom to make it more stable. Makes sense, no? I think that's a good pshat. If it's fairly adjusted, that it's not going to fall, you're allowed to use it and fill through that bucket. Through that pumpkin, sheukmaya delas atzma, because the stone becomes like the pumpkin, shu bottle agabo, and it becomes bottle to it. Vimlav also, and otherwise it's also. Here again is a scenario. I don't exactly know the case, but something to do with what I'm getting to suggest. The halacha is, the point being, well, as far as we are concerned, you've got this pumpkin, which obviously is not mukta, but you've got a stone in there, which obviously is mukta. How can you carry the pumpkin to fill buckets or cups of water with that pumpkin? You're carrying mukta. The answer is tiltul min hatzad. A stone is very, very mukta indeed, and a stone is always going to be mukta. But over here, since you're not actually directly carrying the stone, but you are carrying the pumpkin, which is indirectly holding the stone, so therefore that's considered tiltum el aktzad in its mutter. And that's the same than the first case, which is the basket, which had a hole, and you don't want it to leak, so you're putting a stone there for it not to leak. Here again, you're carrying the stone, but since you're indirectly carrying the stone, as opposed to directly carrying the stone, it's considered tiltum el aktzad, that's mutter lechatchila. I'm not sure directly, indirectly is a very precise translation. Is that the word? Direct, indirect? Tiltum el aktzad? He's not really the... Is that the absolute precise translation? It's not really correct, no? Tiltum min atzad? In very precise English, how would you translate tiltum min atzad? From the side. From the side. Is that what it is? That you've got a stone in the... but you're carrying the basket and there's a stone in there, blocking the side, so that's called from the side? Yeah, I suppose, yeah.
Yeah,
oh, that's good. Yeah, but it's not really kavana related. But it's tiltum min hatzad. Incidental. Yeah, incidental is good. Yeah, incidental is good. I like that. Incidental is good because it's not really what you're doing. You're just indirectly doing it. Yeah, yeah, that's good. Incidental. Yeah.
What about pulses?
We'll get to that. So at the moment, what is bothering you? So what I can tell you now is that what we're seeing now is that it's a good kasha. Yeah. Very good kasha. But we are seeing now bosses. Moshe asks, what about bosses? So the answer is that tiltum min hatzad is mutter and overrides the halachas of bosses. It just makes it into it. Yeah, we'll have to have more clarity as we go through it. But we're seeing over here that it's not a bosses problem. And and also.
You've got a basket which is full of fruit, and there's a stone on that, in that basket. If there is wet fruits there, if there are fresh wet fruits, could go into teinim and novim, like teinim and novim grapes. Yitolo is so commercial. You can just take that basket. You can carry on the basket. Although there's stone there, shiminayra peros mitoicho yifostu. Because if you would shake the fruit out, if you shake the fruit out of your chocolate, that the fruit would come out. Then yifostu. Then what's going to happen is that the fruit is going to fall and they're going to get bruised. They're going to get spoiled. They're going to get spoiled if you're just trying to shake it off. The fruit are going to get spoiled. But if it is dried fruit, they don't get spoiled by just falling a little bit. They don't get spoiled. You know, dried fruit don't get spoiled from falling an inch. Then you should shake it off. And then you should also shake the stone off. And do not take the stone with it. That's if you only need... That's if you need the fruit or the basket. So the
halacha that we're learning over here is that if it is possible at all not to rely on tiltulim and atzat, that's best. That's the yesod that we're learning over here. Londish speaking, we're learning if you've got a basket over here and there is a stone here and there's fresh fruit. So if that's called tiltulim and atzat, you can carry it around. Okay, tiltum and atzad, that's fine. You've got fruit, you've got a stone. Tiltum and atzad is mutter. But what happens if you can easily, you've got over here some dried fruit and you've got a stone here as well. But you could easily, to be perfectly honest with yourself, you could just shake it off and then not carry around this basket, which has a mukta item in it. To be perfectly honest with yourself, you could just easily shake it off. The fruit that's going to come off onto an area which is just fine for you, is just right for you, and the stone is also going to fall off, and it won't hurt anybody, and it won't hurt anything. You could easily do that. So the halach is over here. If you can easily, without any negative consequence, you can do that. So the halach is you should do that. So tiltum and atzad is mutter, yes. But if there's no benefit in it, you can easily avoid it, you should indeed. It doesn't mean that it's a bidyavet. It means that if there's no alternative, you should, it's mutar lechatchila. But if you have an alternative, you should attempt to reach the alternative. If there's no loss whatsoever.
Why do you have to come on to tiltum and atzad when the eben is there from the beginning to bung up a hole? So it's there already.
It's a good question. Yeah. No, that's not considered a van mutter because you're not using it. You're not using it for tzorich mutter. You're not using it. I heard your question is what I understood from your question is that chayritz becomes part of the wall and therefore it's not tiltul min atzad anymore. It's just part of the wall. It's part of the keli. And that I don't know the answer. Okay, Rabbi said very quickly. We learned about tiltul min tiltul baladid of acha, which we learned is mutter. We learned there's an exception, a chomodik, an exception when it comes to a child holding stones. Then it's more chomo, and you have to dafka. You can only do it if he's crying out. We spoke about the basket and the pumpkin, which need to come onto the stone, tiltum and atzad, and his mutter. And then finally, we said the heta in Tziv Gimel applies only. We said in Tziv Gimel the heta applies only if there's mamash no. If the alternative would lose out something, otherwise you should not lechatchila rely on this. Good evening, Rabbi Yisrael.